Our scripture reading for today is taken from the 8th verse of the 5th chapter of St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Strengthen us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. In not too long a time, we will be starting the next Major League Baseball season. And even here on our campus, our softball and baseball athletes are getting geared up for the next season. It's interesting that at the end of the season, oftentimes in the major leagues, when a team has already qualified or won their standings in order to make it into postseason play, that sometimes they will not pitch their best pitchers to save their arms for the postseason play. And they will bring up pitchers from the minor leagues or someone out of the bullpen that's maybe not quite as good a pitcher. And when they can still dominate their opponents and beat them with their weakest players, that's quite a statement of their superiority. It's quite a statement of their ultimate ability to triumph over another team. It's quite a humiliation for the other team to be beat by the least. In the spiritual realm, when we think about the power of the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, just think what amazing power that he has. Despite the fact that the devil, the Bible says, has had a hold on all of us spiritually as we were conceived and born into this world, despite the fact that we belong to his kingdom of darkness, God the Holy Spirit was able to rip us away from that. And the ultimate expression of his superiority is that he did it with a handful of water and some words. It's really amazing to think of it. What a humiliation to the kingdom of the devil. And what a way for God to show his triumphant power through Christ and what it means to belong to his kingdom and what he has at his disposal, that he can take a handful of water in a few words and take people out of the kingdom of darkness and bring them to a knowledge of Christ as their Savior. St. Paul said to the Corinthians that God chose the lowly things and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are. And you can really see that in baptism. What smaller thing could the Holy Ghost have chosen to use? What, a blade of grass or a dandelion or a bite from a Twinkie? A handful of water is all it took. You and I, by faith in Christ, have been brought out of that kingdom of darkness, and we are now, God describes us as his children of light. What an amazing thing that is. So why is it necessary for St. Paul to write to the Christians in his day, or for us to even consider this today, why is it necessary for him to write these words of warning? Kind of warning them to be careful about the darkness and so on. Back in 1981, when I was in seminary, there was the first Indiana Jones movie came out. I guess there's another one coming out in May. It'll be interesting to see. But in 1981, the first Indiana Jones movie came out, and the Raiders of the Lost Ark. And in that movie, there's a great scene where Indiana Jones and the heroine drop themselves down into this deep, dark cave and pit. And they're trying to make their way through as they're looking for the ark and so on. And they hear things under their feet and finally light a torch. And once the torch is lit, they look down and they realize they're standing in a whole swarm of poisonous snakes. What a picture that is for us about how you and I, born into this world in darkness, spiritual darkness, God, the Holy Spirit, has enlightened us. And now that we're able to spiritually see, we realize how dangerous the darkness has been. We realize just how severely dangerous that condition is that we were born into. Notice that Paul doesn't spend a lot of time trying to explain what the darkness is to us. Just like a a mom with her little six-year-old boy. She doesn't need to sit him down and say, okay, Tommy, I'm going to show you what disobedience is. This is what disobedience is. He knows. Okay? He just gets it. And so it is with us when it comes to the darkness. God doesn't have to explain it to us. We know. We used to live in it. We're still lured by it. I can tell you exactly where the darkness is. And we are still drawn back to that. Whether it's at times kind of dabbling in unbelief and questioning the things of God in Scripture, whether it's kind of toying with God's grace and treating it like it's no big deal, whether it's playing Russian roulette with our spiritual lives, putting things off, or kind of externally going through the right motions but internally not really caring, or just kind of faking repentance, I can tell you exactly where the darkness is. This motif of light and darkness in the Bible is a very interesting one. It works its way all the way through Scripture. And the word or the expression light, when God uses it, not only refers to holiness and purity, but it also refers to, you might say, spiritual intelligence or wisdom. And conversely, darkness in Scripture not only stands for sin and for ignorance, but also for ignorance, for having spiritual ignorance. So what Paul is basically saying to us is, you've been blessed to become spiritually intelligent. Don't go back to being stupid. Don't go back to living life and looking at life like a stupid person. You know, if you're like me, we sometimes look at the Amish and we kind of smirk at how the Amish make such extreme rules to try to keep themselves away from anything that would be impure, to such an extent that some of them even label zippers as being a symbol of vanity and so on. You can't wear zippers. And we can kind of smirk at that sometimes for that kind of an extreme position. But are we sometimes in danger of falling into the other extreme of permissiveness about sin in our lives? Of kind of taking it casually and acting like it's really no big deal when it's really a dark cave full of snakes? Sometimes we can be so confident in our justification before God that because of Christ we are right with God, and that's awesome and wonderful. But sometimes we can abuse it so that we think that our lives of sanctification are irrelevant and have no meaning or purpose. Listen to what Dr. Walther once wrote, Dr. C.F.W. Walther. No one becomes just and holy before God by his sanctification, okay, by how we live our lives. But whoever does not earnestly seek a more perfect sanctification certainly falls back again under the complete power of some sin. Notice in Paul's words how wonderful it is, how he describes the believers in his day just like he would to us today. He says, you are light in the Lord. He doesn't say you will be light in the Lord. You are light in the Lord. This wonderful status that faith confers upon you and me, that's been given to us in the waters of baptism and through the Word of God to come to a knowledge of Christ as our Savior, who died to pay for all of our sins so we could be right with God. Notice, he says, you are light in the Lord. It's present tense, even now, even if you don't feel like it as a Christian. And notice he also says there, you are light in the Lord. He doesn't say you are light in yourself. Of course not. You and I know that we still struggle with sins. But where we are light and purity and holiness is in the Lord, in Christ. In him, we are light. And this is how God now sees us. Wonder what a wonderful blessing it is that God has given us this knowledge and insight. But here's the great irony. Those who are truly light in the Lord in this world are the ones who are concerned and troubled about darkness in their lives. If you are concerned about the darkness around you in your life, that's a healthy sign that you are in the kingdom of light. Because only those who are in the kingdom of the light of God's grace can have the vision to realize the danger of the darkness. In the Bible, God describes heaven as a city of light. We're told that there will be no more night there. Just think what heaven is going to be like. And that's what you and I, by God's grace, have waiting for us. That's who you are. It's where you belong. It's why God baptized you into his kingdom. And so may God grant us the faith to live as citizens of that great city. Amen. Please rise for prayer. I invite you to turn to page 153 in the front of your hymn book, page 153. And we will join together in unison in praying prayer number 45 for this week in the church here. Lord God, Heavenly Father, you have sent your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to take upon himself our flesh, that he might overcome the devil and defend us poor sinners from the adversary. We give thanks to you for your merciful help, and we beseech you to attend us with your grace in all temptations, to preserve us from carnal security, and by your Holy Spirit to keep us in your word, in your fear, that we may be delivered from the enemy and obtain eternal salvation through the same your beloved Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.